I'll be reading from my Harper's article, The Way of All Flesh, which is an account of the weeks I spent last fall as a USDA meat inspector at a Cargill beef slaughterhouse in Nebraska. I will begin at the beginning and end at nearly the end, which will, well, you'll see. And I'll leave out some things in between. The cattle arrive in perforated silver trailers called cattle pots that let in wind and weather and vent out their hot breath and flatus. It's hard to see inside a cattle pot. The drivers are in a hurry to unload and leave and are always speeding by. When I ask Lefty how meat gets bruised, he says, "You ever see how those guys drive?" The trucks have come from feedlots, some nearby, some in western Nebraska, a few in Iowa. The plant slaughters about 5,100 cattle each day, and a standard double-decker cattle pot holds only about 40, so there's a constant stream of trucks pulling in to disgorge even before the line starts up a little after 6 a.m. First, the cattle are weighed. Then they're guided into narrow outdoor pens angled diagonally toward the entrance to the kill floor. When their time comes, the cattle will be urged by workers toward the curving ramp that leads up into the building. The ramp has a roof and no sharp turns. It was designed by the livestock expert Temple Grandin, and the curves and penumbral light are believed to soothe the animals in their final moments. But the soothing only goes so far. "Huele mal, no?" says one of the Mexican wranglers. "Stinks, doesn't it?" He holds his nose against the ammoniac smell of urine as I visit the pens with Carolina. We are new U.S. Department of Agriculture meat inspectors getting the kitchen tour. The wrangler and his crew are moving cattle up the ramp. To do this, they wave sticks with white plastic bags tied to the ends over the animals' heads. The bags frighten the cattle and move them along. For cows that don't spook, the workers also have electric prods that crackle when applied to the nether parts. The ramp really does stink. "Yeah," I say in Spanish, "why does it smell so bad?" "They're scared. They don't want to die," the worker replies. But that's what they're here to do, and once on the ramp, they're just a few moments away from it. Carolina and I are not like most of the other inspectors. This becomes obvious as Herb, our immediate supervisor, sits us down in the USDA break room to fill out paperwork. The regulars are putting on their white hard hats, grabbing the wide aluminum scabbards that hold their knives, and heading out onto the floor to begin the day. They're mostly white and mostly from the area around Schuyler, the town we sit at the edge of. I grew up in Colorado, but arrived in Nebraska from my home in New York City, which strikes many here as odd. Carolina was born in Mexico, spent her childhood in California, came to Nebraska a few years ago, and became a U.S. citizen in the past year. Still, in certain ways, she has more in common with our coworkers than I do, because she's worked in meat plants before. The JBS packing house in Grand Island, where she was a quality assurance technician, and before that, a kosher slaughterhouse in Hastings, where she worked on the line, which means she has experience with a knife, which I do not. That experience, I will soon learn, counts for a lot. We leave the break room, walk down a short corridor, and through a pair of swinging metal doors to a singular circle of hell. The kill floor is a hubbub of human and mechanical activity, something horrific designed by ingenious engineers. Herb shouts a few things, but the kill floor is so loud that I have no idea what he's saying, and little understanding at first of what I'm seeing. Though it's called a floor, it's actually a room about the size of a football field. It's filled with workers on their feet, facing some fraction of a cow as it passes slowly in front of them, suspended from the chain. The chain is the key to comprehending the enormous room. It begins on the eastern wall, just beyond the area where the cows come in from the outside. This is the only section of the room hidden from view behind a partition. But Herb takes us up onto the metal catwalk, and through a heavy door. From there, grasping a railing, we can look down on the killing. Passing one by one through a small opening in the wall, each animal enters a narrow, slightly elevated chute. On a platform just above the chute is a guy called the knocker. Suspended on cables in front of him is something that looks like a fat toaster with handles on either side, a captive bolt gun. The knocker's job is to place the gun on the animal's forehead and pull the trigger. Most of the time, the cow immediately slumps forward, blood oozing from the circle where the thick steel bolt went in and came out. Carolina and I watch this for some time without talking. The knocker moves slowly, patiently waiting for his gun to achieve good contact with the animal's forehead. It usually takes more than one try, as the animals duck down or try to peer over the side of the chute. One cow, unlike the others, lifts her head up high in order to sniff the knocking gun. What could this be? It's her last thought. The knocker waits until her wet nose goes down, lowers the gun, and thunk. She slumps, then gets hoisted aloft with the others. The knocked animals hang next to one another for a while, waiting for the chain to start moving, like gondolas at the base of a ski lift.